Live from the most dangerous city in America, or at least the safety of the suburbs outside of it, the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Oh, listen to that. Here we are. We actually made it to the Comedy Castle. Can you believe that?
Here we are, everybody.
We're live in the lobby of the Comedy Castle. Welcome in, everybody.
In the lobby.
Well, what are we, in the bar?
We're
in the bar.
It's true. We're in the lobby.
Is this the lobby or the bar? I don't know what
you can feel the electricity from the lobby.
I guess so. I don't know what it is.
You can hear the show.
Welcome in. It's Corey and Joel Radio live from the Detroit International Comedy
Festival. Yeah. All right. Detroit International Comedy Festival.
We have such a huge crowd out here. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe we should keep our voices down. They can hear us in the show. We have microphones. We can turn up. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Detroit International Comedy Fest. This is the first night, the opening night. This is going to be considered the best of Detroit night.
Yeah.
That's what they're calling this night. So
absolutely.
It's we're glad to be here with everybody and everyone listening at home, whether you be in Germany, in Yellowknife
in
of the Northwest Territories.
Or Yellowknife or Iceland or wherever you might listen.
And today on the show, you're going to hear a lot of old friends of ours, people that have been on the show in the past.
Yes.
You're going to hear a bunch of new comedians that you've never heard before.
Some new faces like Joel Fragamenti.
No, they've heard me a lot. That's all they hear is my fat trap. But
this is the inaugural Detroit International Comedy Festival,
yes,
as we talked about last week.
And Corey and I are performing later in the week, but tonight...
I'm on the Filth Fest. Joel's on the New Faces.
Corey's on
Go
Wednesday. I'm
that.
On Thursday. So if you want to listen, get on down here. You still got time to catch some of this. The best of the fest is Friday night at the Magic Bag. We'll talk about that all night.
Our friend Ben Constantine
I can see
by.
Ben across the lobby here.
Yeah.
But let's get into our first comic he's waiting for. So let's play a little bit of this guy... Let's hear his
Absolutely.
Comedy. You guys listen at home and listen to this.
I don't
here we go.
Know enough about my own religion. Like 2 weeks ago, I was at church with my nephew, and he's 5, and he goes, Uncle Mike, why does a priest have to sing to the cracker? I'm like, shut up, you know. Because he does. Even if you're not Catholic, you've seen it. Like the priest gets all into it. He's like... through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Yeah. He has to sing to his food. How embarrassing would it be to go out to eat with him? You're out at lunch at McDonald's, he's all, 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Like, you'd always say that. You'd always say that.
That's good, though. Come on. You got to admit. Now you're laughing at
that.
It.
He would
now you're laughing at it, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's introduce just Mike Green, the great
the
Mike
wonderful
Green.
Mike Green.
I'm applauding
he is.
For
I guess. Yeah, Mike Green.
Some people
clapping
applauding
for me.
Mike Green.
Clap- 3, because I'm clapping
That's
for
Mike
me.
Green.
Don't you love hearing your own bit?
No, not at all. I hate it, dude. Where'd you get that, first of all?
I found it on, you have an electronic press kit online that I
do.
Scoured the internet for. It was a good tape. I found it's from here, I think.
Yes.
Yes, and that was your first bit on there, and I liked it, and I said, that's
perfect.
Should I have called you first and said, what do you want me to play?
Not even a little. No, I don't care. No, I like that
it's
joke.
On your press kit, man.
I like that joke, and I'm not the only comic that does it.
No. Oh.
Much now, we also have this clip from your third grade drama class.
Let's hear that.
We're
going to
play that. It's like when Leno breaks out the the first commercial like somebody did in Hollywood.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, John Travolta, here you are for Lee Jeans in 1973.
This is you from the 86 Mancino's Pizza and Grinders commercial.
Yeah, Derry O'Connell. Remember you when you were a kid? You did the thing with the spirograph, Derry?
Yeah.
Leno.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's
my
Leno.
Very good.
Very good.
You
think my
very
Leno?
Nice
all right. I have my green theater night. I'm Kevin, have you heard of my green?
That's my green.
Oh, he's doing Kevin now. Okay.
That's not even close.
Crazy.
That was horrible.
He does crazy black man good, whether it's Kevin Eubanks or not. But Mike Green is here. We've known Mike for a very long time. I believe are you considered the headliner tonight? Is it safe to say? I won't tell anyone else, but you are, right?
Yeah, that's what they're calling me.
You are the very best of the best of Detroit.
That's what
yeah,
does
no,
that
go
mean?
Ahead. Live in it for a moment.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, we're giving you that. Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks.
Come
saying.
On, it's you and Hildebrand. Come on.
Thanks.
You can blow that old man off the stage.
Thanks.
Come
oh,
on,
yeah.
Look at that.
He's going down.
But we've known Mike for a while, and Mike did a thing for us that no one's ever heard. We did a demo with Mike when there was an online company that was going to start up, and we were going to do a comedy show for them.
That's
our
right.
A lost pilot.
Live from various clubs. We did a pilot
right here.
We
don't
right
even
here.
Have it anymore.
I don't even know where it is. No. I don't have a copy of it, but Mike was our guest for the whole thing. It was very funny.
I remember.
And then here we are years later doing this.
That's right.
Yeah, for no money.
Now that your show is a success.
It is. Look, that's we have our own show. Banner with
I
our names on it. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, I don't even think you had to point it out.
Yeah,
how
that's
could
awesome.
I miss it?
We make hundreds of dollars a year from this show now.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
So, Mike, tell us, for those, this is kind of, you're new to our audience,
mm-hmm.
so tell them a little bit about the magic of Mike Green.
That's such a broad question. I'm a family guy.
You've been doing comedy for a long time.
22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
22 years.
Yeah.
And God, I think I hate my life after 10.
I do. I already
pack another 12 on top of it. Holy
Dude,
crap.
I get sick. I get, like, I get ill when I have to but get in the car
feel,
and go somewhere.
Do you feel like now, like in recent years, though, I mean, you're 22 years, and some people feel like, you know, Corey, my fan, just using you as an example,
sure.
you might feel like you're spinning your wheels after 9 years in or whatever you got.
Yeah.
And I'm like 8 years in.
Right.
But yet, things have been happening for you. You won the Las Vegas Comedy Festival. Was that last year or at 06?
Yep. Yep. 07.
07? Mm-hmm. You won that. So things are still happening for you
mm-hmm.
that would happen to a young comedian, quote unquote.
Right.
And yet
yeah.
you're there to a lot of people. You're still a new, you're still
well,
like,
you've been doing this
where'd
for,
this guy come from, you know?
Right.
You've been doing this for 22 years, and what's amazing is you're 31.
That's correct.
No, that's not true.
You're the youngest looking guy ever.
That's, I sleep
I look
in
like
Tupperware.
Hell, and you look 10 years younger than me.
But yeah. but do you feel that's a good thing then, that things are still breaking for you, that things are still working?
Yeah, it's what keeps me going.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
Otherwise, I would hate it.
Yeah.
I'd be even more miserable than I am already.
Wow.
But so you're doing all these showcases and kind of industry things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing the road? Are you still slogging away out there?
Yeah, like crazy.
Yeah,
like
really?
This year, coming up, I have Las Vegas and then Atlantic City. And,
okay, but those are good cities to be in.
They're great. And
right.
that's what I work my whole life is
right.
to work the cool clubs
yeah.
and not the one-nighters.
I did a town called Sterling, Michigan last night.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they hated me.
That happens.
And they wanted to fight me. I'm not kidding. They were actually threatening my life. I had to leave the club.
What's
I'm not
funny,
kidding.
You're
I'm
explaining comedy to me.
Oh, I know.
I know.
But I'd love to go to
painful.
Vegas.
Being a comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
They certainly do. But, you know.
That came in loud as hell.
It sure did.
That was.
That's okay. I got the pot here, bro. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, it's a long way from Sturgis to Las Vegas.
It is. But you know, so now where do you feel like the next step for you is?
Well, the big one that I'm very excited about is I got called to do a week at the Ice House in Los Angeles.
Okay, yeah.
Which
nice.
Dude, I don't know any comics who get to go out there and do time. Like most
right.
comics live there if they work there.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They actually called me.
And so you're doing a week there, like a proper
yes.
gig, not just a showcase, like
that's
an
correct.
Actual whole week.
Yeah, a week.
A work for cash and everything.
And I got booked there from out here, which is
wow.
Unheard of.
Well, that's
I don't know. I mean,
well, maybe other people from here can get booked out there.
Yeah, that'd be great. I got friends who are comics who live out there and have been starving for 12 years and can't get a spot. They got to stand in line for 10 hours to get 2 minutes.
Now, Mike, I've always thought of you as like a consummate stand-up. There's seeing you live, it's you work the room like nobody.
Yeah.
What do you think when do you feel weird when it gets on TV?
That does
step?
Not translate
You're
well.
You're such a live act. Yeah. You're such a great live act.
What I do doesn't translate well on video or on TV or any of that. And,
yeah.
and I think that, yeah, to see, I hate to say this, but
if
you
want
to see me do my show.
Just not found a project that's worked for you, right? You know,
not at all, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and also, do you feel like sometimes when you do these showcases and stuff, you're only doing 10 minutes or 8 minutes or
yeah.
7 minutes, and you feel like you need to do your whole show?
No. I can be. That's why I do so well in the contest, because
yeah.
I do really well in short sets.
Okay.
Like, I can kill
oh, yeah,
in short sets.
You're unbelievable. So, you're 0 to 60 in
yeah.
5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's the only reason I do well. I got friends, you know, Norm Stultz, who's
yeah.
a comedian who I love. But he's never done well in contests because he...
Norm tells stories.
He's huge stories and big stories that you really have to follow and really be with him. And
right. He's got one bit, it's half an hour. I'm not shitting
yeah.
you. He does,
by the time he gets
like,
up to the top of the mountain to ski...
Right. Yeah, well, he does about four
right.
bits in his act,
yeah.
and it's an hour. You
yeah,
know, he
yeah.
does four bits. It's
so
amazing.
I've been fortunate that... I mean, that's why I do well in contests, because I can rapid fire. I can do lots of JPMs.
Right.
Jokes per minute.
That's jokes per minute.
Civilians listening.
Very, very good. Very good stuff. So, all right, so you're doing the Ice House, and hopefully that's going to be a spot where industry people can see you.
Well, no, I actually have industry coming out. The people from Jimmy Kimmel are coming to see
me. Oh, really?
Me.
Well, that's...
Well, you should get on that show, for God's sakes.
I would.
I've seen some of the stand-ups that get on that show.
Well, the good thing is, one of the guys who was in charge of the Las Vegas Comedy Festival is now a talent coordinator for the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So he...
Oh, nice.
He actually sought me out as well. And I think that he had a hand in getting me the spot out there. So
okay, well, that's good.
No, and I know that in the last couple of years, you said you'd be in you're doing the family thing.
Yeah.
And you are a family man.
Right.
And now the career's heating up again.
Right.
It's like you've worked this long to get up there, and now you feel like you can relax, and now, boom, it's about to explode.
Let me ask you about the family thing, because me and him don't have families, aside from our parents. And
Or him and I,
or whatever. We're a podcast.
Thank you for the grammar.
Thank you. But now, does the family thing, does it make you work harder or less hard at comedy? Because in one way, I feel like having a family is people you got to support. You want to have as much success as you can. And, you know, so you can give that to them. And then the other hand, I feel like it would detract you from, you know, being able, like in comedy, you want to hang out with the guys late at night and hang around the clubs and,
network
and bullshit and all that stuff. And
I have yet, this is my first wife. And this is my fourth wife, literally. But
is it really your fourth wife?
Yeah. This is the first wife who gets it, like totally gets it. Like if I come home at 2 in the morning or don't come home, she's like okay with it.
I was going to say.
She understands. Because she trusts me. She knows I don't fuck around.
Yeah. And what happened? What did the other wives do to you, though?
No, it's fine.
That's pot.
I was going to say I've known you for at least two wives.
Yeah.
Or maybe three.
Yeah.
But did they give you a bunch of crap about being a comic and stuff?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, and plus... another important fact is that I'm making a lot more money now.
Right.
I mean, I was, a starving artist for, 14 of the 22 years. I mean, bringing home no money. And that's really hard to explain when you go, well, it's a passion of mine.
Yeah.
I just love this comedy.
Right.
Now I'm making money, so she's totally cool with it. She's just keep bringing the checks home.
Right.
That's so. Four wives. You're like that Peterson guy with the cop. None of them drown or anything, did they?
No.
There's no blue barrels that have been removed from your house or anything.
Are you and Ridley having a contest or what's going on?
What sort of contest?
The wives. For I think he's saying about how many wives.
Yeah. Dude. But I'm kicking his ass, dude.
Story.
I'm 42 with four wives.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's one in every 10.25 years.
But they've all known you as a comic. Were you like not a comic with the first wife and then you became a comic?
The math was wrong. It's 10.50.
That's okay.
But no, I mean,
none
of our audience can do
that. Because this is what I find is like guys who are married who start a comedy career, usually that marriage ends if they have any success at all in comedy.
Yeah.
But were you a comic the whole time, or did you meet the first wife when you were a civilian and then you became a comic?
Nope.
What happened?
I've been a comedian the whole time. I've been a comedian since I was 21 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
You came out of the womb telling jokes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's tremendous, man. Well, good luck with the Kimmel thing, man.
Thanks. The new project is the movie, Be Funny.
Oh, Let's talk about that. Corey, you have a copy of it, right?
I do have a copy of Be Funny.
Have you seen it yet?
I am waiting for the proper time to review it.
No, I'm cool with that.
It was going to be in the festival, and then it ended up not being.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're the subject of this documentary called Be Funny. Tell everybody about that.
It's a documentary. It's about me and like six other comedians. They follow us around, and just it's a look at comedy. It's a look at stand-up comedy, and it's a really honest look at stand-up comedy. It's not the Seinfeld where he's working sold-out rooms trying out new material. It's Chrissy Burns getting to a gig and there's nobody in the audience. There's nobody there after a whole day of getting to the gig in preparation.
It's an audience wanting to fight Joel.
Yeah, they wanted to fight
that.
They wanted to actually fight me.
Yeah. You're not actually in the movie. Who else is in the movie?
Totally real. It's Chris Newberg's in it.
He's been on our show.
Yep. Horace Sanders is in it. Mm-hmm. Chrissy Burns is in it.
Yeah.
Lots of guys. There's like there's the clips of Tim Allen and Mark Ridley, the owner of the Comedy Castle. There's
who's laughing right now over there?
Chris Titus is in it.
Okay, so a lot of big names and up and comers and a lot of people from the area.
Yeah, Ben Stein. I'm trying to think. There's
but you're kind of the focal point. You're kind of
It turns out that I'm like the central focus, the central.
You
character.
Are. It is Hoop Dreams with a comedian, and you are the comedian. Hoop Dreams.
Yeah, it's a. Yeah. I don't know.
So the LA thing, are you going to do, would you consider doing that full time? Like going out there and trying to really work the
industry? That's the thing. I can't. I have joint physical and joint legal custody of my son, and my ex-wife lives here.
Okay.
So the law is that I have to live within 60 miles of him.
Really?
And so I'm going to do that until he's 18. Yeah. And then I'll be too old to go to L.A. So.
Well, hopefully you don't need to go to L.A. You can stay here, develop your own thing, and fly out there when they need you.
Right, and I'm making a living here. Like, I'm doing pretty well now, so.
Well,
and you should, really, one of the best, if Mike Green comes to your town, what's your website so people can follow you?
It's OreoMan.com.
That's right.
O-R-E-O-M-A-N.
That's a very funny bit Mike does with the milk and the cookies. And
it's an old bit, but a true story, nonetheless.
All right.
Wow.
So, do you find your comedy comes out of the real things, or do you ever just make shit up?
Yeah, I make
Do you make shit up?
Yes,
like, how much, what percentages? No, but I mean, like in my act, I'm exaggerating things, but usually there's a little
the
grain
parts about
of
getting
truth.
Laid.
Well, my jokes are mainly about get laid, and that's largely true in one way or another.
No, but, I mean, you know, there's a lot
like
of stuff.
Like the McDonald's bit we heard. The kid, he's singing to the food, and you explain this to your nephew.
Well, I'm a Catholic guy, and I was at church, and I have this priest, Father Beatty, who sings like a freaking freak. I mean, he's just like really into it, and I couldn't believe how into it he is.
Right.
I had moved churches, and I thought, oh, this guy really, he sings the words. Now, it wasn't my nephew who asked. I mean, that was the way I led into the joke.
You got into it that way.
Yeah.
But this guy really is into the singing to the food, though.
Yeah.
Because I am Catholic. I was raised Catholic anyway, and I see them doing that. But some guys are more into it than others.
This guy,
yeah.
Like my previous church, the guy was just like, "Namana Patu, Spiritu Santo," you know, but this guy really into it.
Now, I'm not a regular churchgoer, but I'm thinking about going to a black church.
You know, that sounds great.
You know, because I want to be entertained. If I'm going to go, I want a guy in a big hat. I want singing. I want dancing.
You will be entertained if you go to a black church.
I have a bit in my act about the...
like there's tap dancing and stuff. What are you talking about?
There's a whole chorus line number.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's entertainment.
I want to praise them loud.
Yeah, Catholic church, that's about as much fun as it gets as the guy singing to the food.
That's it.
Otherwise, you're kneeling or you're standing up or you're holding your head.
And eating the cracker.
Yeah,
I remember as a kid thinking, I can't wait to get one of those
crackers. Right, you have to have a communion to get the cracker.
You have to be 12, isn't it?
You have to be 12, yeah. And until you're 12, you're not really supposed to go there.
You can't even look. I don't even think you can look at the cracker. Right. When I was an altar boy when I was a kid, we used to steal them.
You can't even look at the cracker.
You can't.
Yeah, they don't want you to
have cracker. They'd be like, oh, this is too much for you at this point. Yeah, well, we would steal them out of the cupboards.
Oh, okay.
We'd bring them home, whole packages. And then one time I got caught. The priest walked by my coat, and a whole package of them fell out.
Now,
and
did they get those from, like, Costco or something? Do they get, like, a bulk gross of those?
Dude, you know, there's probably some
you can buy them.
Wonder. Factor, I think Wonder makes them. Wonder
would
bread.
It kill him to throw in a Triscuit? Or so, could the but Lord be a
they're
Triscuit?
Not holy until they're not holy until he blesses it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Catholic Church. So he could bless anything, you know, like
he could bless some Cheez-Its.
Yeah, he could literally bless some Cheez-Its.
Somebody does that joke.
Really?
That joke?
Really?
They call him Jeez-Its. I forget who. I hate to say a joke, and
well, it's okay, Mike.
I don't think you
that
should.
That might be a Dane Cook joke.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't attribute that to anybody.
Yeah,
it's a terrible joke.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Well,
so, anyway, Mike Green, I want to thank you. The Be Funny movie, is that, can we people see that yet, or what's the deal with that?
Right now, we are trying to get Sundance to show it.
Ah.
And we have that in the works, and it
very
looks
good.
Pretty positive. Things are pretty positive.
So you're working the festival season, Tribeca, and all that kind of stuff?
Yep.
All right.
Sounds good, man.
And OreoMan.com, it's OreoMan.com, right?
That's it, yep.
And the Ice House is when? How soon is that coming up?
April.
So like a couple months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get ready for that.
Yep.
Like you couldn't do it tomorrow, but
one of the absolute nicest guys in comedy,
Mike
Green.
We want to thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Get ready to rock him tonight, Mike.
Yeah,
oh, I will
be good tonight, Mike. Thank you, Mike Green. Everybody, Mike Green.
Like I dated a few ladies. I once dated a girl that was kinky. I thought that would be cool. Like one night we were making love and she handcuffed me to the bed. Then she robbed me. I didn't even know she was robbing me because she was talking all sexy. She was like, does daddy like it when I put all of his silverware into this bag? Yeah, baby, do it faster. You like when I put your armoire into the trunk of my car? Yeah, giddy up, baby. You like it when I set fire to the room to leave no witnesses? Hey, wait a second. The hell's an armoire?
There it is. There it is. The comedy stylings of Mr. Dave Landau. Dave.
Thank you.
Hey.
Dave, welcome to the show.
Hilarity.
The Detroit. You were the first performer there at the Comedy Festival. You just got off stage.
Yeah, after the MC. Just walked
off.
How'd
it go, man?
It went pretty well. The crowd was a little tight, but they got into me.
It's hard being the first guy whenever you do these showcase type things and you're the first guy. You always go, I'm the first guy.
A little tight.
What the hell happened?
Which is appropriate for you popping the cherry on the Detroit International Festival.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Nice work.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to finally have you on the show.
Yeah, we've talked about having Dave on for a long time.
I know. I wanted to come on, so it was nice to actually finally be honest.
Well, we came to you, in a sense. You didn't have to come to our palatial studio in Ferndale. You were right here in the Comedy Castle.
Yeah, right here live. So
once you come to the C&J compound, look out.
Yeah,
it'll be nice.
Oh, man. So what's up with you, man? Dave is... Now, that clip is from a show called Live at Gotham that you did on Comedy Central.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And that was a recent occurrence in you. A little TV, a little exposure for you?
Yeah, I did it in March of 07 and aired in June of 07. Okay. I guess it's replayed here and there. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get royalties.
It'll be replayed till the end of time.
Hopefully. Yeah, that and AbFab.
I saw a Freddie Prinze Sr. Comedy Central bit. I'm Hungarian.
Was it the one where he kills himself?
I'm looking good. Yeah, it was a good one. It was right before he shot himself.
But that's exciting. We just talked to Mike Green about, you know, his thing, and he's been 22 years.
Oh, forever.
You've been doing comedy 8 minutes, and you got a
special. Yeah, you're a relative newbie, man.
Yeah, about 4 years.
Yeah, see? Look at you.
You're
a prick.
Hi.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, how are you? Good times.
Yeah. Yes, as I pulled Dave's least funniest clip, so now I was going to go, what the fuck is he? No, I'm kidding.
It's mediocre.
I've been doing comedy. I got a podcast where a guy sends me gummy bears from Germany.
That's true. That's what we do have. Do you have any fans in Germany? Do you have any in there?
I actually, believe it or not, have one, and he designed my website.
Okay,
of course he did. Yeah. You know what? We are good at designing the websites. That is awesome.
Well, we know we have two fans in Germany, so we're one better than Dave right now.
We have Hamburg and Frankfurt, and they have a... Is there a high-speed tram between the two? They can communicate.
Yeah. But, Dave, so things are going good with the TV. I know personally you're recently married.
Just got married, yes.
Yeah, I saw you and your wife at the holiday party over there.
Yep, right over at Bill Bouchard's. Another comedian going up tonight.
And you're off. You're literally leaving the Corey and Joel radio show to go on your honeymoon.
Yes, to the Bahamas.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Why would you come and do this?
I figure I got a couple hours to my flight. 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you'll be nice and fresh.
That's a red eye.
You'll be ready for a Mai Tai as soon as you get there,
be
right?
Nice and drunk on a beach for a week. I'll just be hammered.
You're saving
for
some coin on the flight, apparently, for this honeymoon.
Oh, so, definitely.
Yeah. What is that? Was that Travelocity? Who got you there?
No, that Expedia? Was the entire sandal package.
Oh, which it was sandals?
Yeah, it's all inclusive, including the awful flight time.
Travelocity was more like Lenny, the guy that hangs up behind the deli.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I got it. You want to go to Bahamas, kid? Come on, man. I got something for you.
It's a 3 a.m. flight.
Is it the Muppet that's like, you want to buy an A?
Yeah.
Who's got a travel package? You leave at 3 a.m., you come back never. You come back in individually marked garbage bags.
Yeah. He might.
Have you been to the Caribbean before? I've heard it's nice.
I never have.
And the all-inclusive, I guess, is the way to go, because then you don't have to go into town and get assaulted by villagers. And
it'd be nice not to get raped by locals.
Yeah, that's...
So she might, but I'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. You're very pretty.
I don't know. It could be. I'm handsome.
Is that a good honeymoon thing, the all-inclusive? I thought those are kind of like swinging singles. Everyone gets loaded and
they
bangs each other.
It's
maybe
possible.
That's what you're into. Hey, don't let me judge.
I'm not at all, but you never know. She could be turned into a Natalie Holloway, and I'll have my week off.
What a wonderful special time that'll be.
Are you hanging out with Joran Vandersloot down there?
Very
is that what
possibly,
you're doing?
Yes.
Oh, man. All right. So what's coming up with you, man, in the comedy world? What are you doing? You doing the road?
I'm just doing the road, just headlining around the country.
Yeah, you do colleges and stuff, too.
I do.
How are those gigs?
It depends.
Some people hate them. Some people love them. Yeah, I've heard everything.
If you get like a late night in a theater, you know, it's kind of a lot of fun. Yeah. But usually it's a lunchroom and people are sitting there like buying footlong hot dogs. You don't know who the hell you are.
So you're entertaining the study hall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you just kind of stand there like a jackass.
It's never good to do comedy in a like non-captive environment.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You come anywhere where there's a door someone can leave out of.
Right, yeah.
It's not, you know.
It's usually good to get people to pay money to watch you, because at least they have some incentive to stay.
Oh, yeah.
Like they invested some money in it. But when it's kids who are killing time between classes, it's like, oh, fuck this guy.
Oh, yeah, and I was at one. They're so PC now. Like, everything you say, they're going to hold up a picket sign. Like, I did one a few weeks ago, and I did that Hitler joke, and this girl's like, I don't even hear about no Hitler. This is a place of high education.
What school is that? Tell everybody what awful school that is.
that was. Cicero University.
Cicero
so
University.
Shout out to them.
That's like the 13th grade. You need a driver's license to get in.
Yeah, exactly.
Cicero University.
That's why it's a higher education. That's right. Use six double negatives right in a row. So it was a good time.
Wow. No, college kids are nuts. I did an interview in Ann Arbor with Wes Anderson.
Okay.
And this girl came up after me and talked about like the racist theology of Wes Anderson's films.
Really?
And I'm like, it's the Royal Tenenbaums. What you're reading in too much here, honey.
Go
pick at a Ron Paul gathering or something. You know, find something to do.
Yeah, the Life Aquatic.
You're barking at the wrong
hateful.
Tree. Right?
Yeah.
Jason Schwartzman is the biggest racist bastard.
That Rushmore filled with bigotry.
She's just so intense, and I'm like, okay, cool. That's the indie comedy filmmakers. Your problem. That's what's wrong with America.
College kids think they can solve the world's problems.
Oh, they really do.
You know, and then you're part of the problem if you're making a joke about something. And really, comedians, comedy, and satire actually could change the world's problems if people listen to them in some small way.
Oh, absolutely.
At least more than a college kid who's holding up a sign and smoking pot on the quad every afternoon.
Oh, exactly. You have like Lewis Black out there actually saying a message and getting a point across that people can actually relate to, and then you have like three people picketing.
Right.
Like, who cares? You're doing nothing.
No, it's so true. The ice caps are melting. Oil is $100 a barrel.
Right.
Let's pick it. Dave Landau, dick joke technician.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's get mad at him.
You're a terrible dick joke. Let's pick it.
Right. That Chinese laundry bit is just horrible,
yeah,
and
just
it's
evil.
Setting back
it's very,
race relations.
Yeah,
you don't
some,
even do a Chinese laundry bit, as far as I know. I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying. I don't want to accuse
same
you
thing.
Of
it's
doing
like
that.
All of a sudden I just drop some bombshell that everybody already knew.
But you are kind of a very punchline-y comic. You're not like
definitely.
You're not a rant guy. You're not a guy who's doing.
No,
you're not that controversial at all.
No,
and then, but
not.
Yeah, they'll find something to bother.
You have a very clever, likable style of comedy, and yet people still hate you.
Yeah, I just kind of it's just jokes.
I'm not everyone. I'm just saying that
not
was
everyone.
Overdoing it.
Only
what?
Half the people
hate me and him.
Yeah,
but that's the people.
What is that dick joke doing for the baby seal?
Exactly, nothing. Yeah. It does some for the dolphins.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
But you could
swim with dolphins in the Bahamas or what?
We actually have that option.
Is that on the package?
I might do it.
Is that part of the plan?
I might
I want to see you swimming with some dolphins.
I'll get you
You're
some video
You're the most laid-back dude ever.
I really am,
I
want to
see you chasing a dolphin
it's
through
like,
the water.
Hey,
that would be great.
Riding around
hey, man,
one.
It's a porpoise. Hey, look at that. Damn it. He's on his honeymoon. He's going to be laying in bed all day banging. That's what he's doing.
I'm
he's
hoping.
Not going. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I'll be honest.
He's not you're not paragliding or any shit like that, are you?
I hope not.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I just picture a large bowl of blue punch in your hand with like
yeah, that'll be about right.
With like, you know, little cocktail umbrellas in it. And
right,
you know,
hoping a local gives me
you
a joint.
And a nice, you know, his bathrobe that's just splayed open.
That I stole from the hotel.
Yeah,
it's big, will be keeping.
Big scraggly beard after
I'm
a few
picturing
days.
Dave's honeymoon. I'm not thinking about his wife at all. I'm thinking about Dave.
No,
what is wrong with me?
Yeah,
Dave relaxing.
She'll barely be there. It's
yeah,
all right.
Exactly. Well, I hear the Bahamas is a good place to meet chicks, so that's a good good place to have your
yeah, it'll be good. Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely look in the wrong direction at least 15 times.
Did
so.
You? We were just talking to Mike Green about this. Did you meet your wife before or after you started comedy?
I actually met her at Second City doing improv comedy. And she's one of the people that pushed me into doing stand-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so it's sort of
five years ago.
Because see, Mike was
Where
saying,
is she?
You know,
I want to talk to her.
Oh, she's not here. She stopped supporting after about 2.5 years.
Is she already at the airport?
Probably.
That's good. That's the kind of way. That's how you can your marriage can.
Well,
last.
It's sandals.
Oh,
you have to get there early and save seats.
Right.
Yeah, she's standing in line.
For anybody in comedy, if you have a girlfriend or a
do you have to bring lawn chairs onto the plane, or
oh,
do you actually
do.
Have seats?
Yeah,
do you have, seats
you have to
that?
Have that and a Jimmy Buffett album.
Are you in storage? What are you guys flying in the undercarriage?
Yeah, we'll be with chickens and Nicolas Cage.
With a cat carrier.
They're taking the UPS plane down there. Sit on some boxes.
Yeah, I'll be with the cast of Con Air.
You don't have to bring like a
I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking comedians on this motherfucking plane.
You don't have to bring a kidney down, packed in ice or anything to get the cheap
No, we
flight.
Do. We do.
You do? Okay,
yeah, I'm actually doing the operation. It's a boy. He's about 8 years
Sweet.
Old.
I'm dumping on his honeymoon. What a
no,
big
I
guy.
It's good. It's
That's
good.
Fine.
I Unlike Mike Green, who was just here with his four divorces.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I'm sorry, three divorces.
Three. Was
he's
on his fourth.
He's on
wife.
The fourth.
He's on the fourth one.
Let's give the man credit. He's,
yeah,
not, he's not up to Ridley's. He's
good.
Not up to Ridley's level yet.
Yes.
Mike still has a paycheck he can hold on to. God, why am I so mean?
You're being a real dick.
I've yet to go
lives.
Down. I've never gone to the altar.
You haven't done that.
If I have a girlfriend for more than 6 weeks, it's a miracle.
Please.
I'm on 2 years. Anyway,
that used to be for me.
So anyway, what I'm saying, it's good for you because I've never seen a comic who's like, well, one or two, but usually if the wife is hanging out all the time, watching your set, that's problems.
Oh, definitely.
She can't, you know.
It depends. Well, I know the one guy who he got his wife used to let him do whatever. He was flying all over the country doing comedy, and then he got caught cheating.
Yes.
And now you never see this guy without his wife ever once.
No,
like
right.
for
see,
the last 10 years, she's there at every friggin' show.
Never seen
oh
him.
Yeah, you never see that guy ever anywhere.
Yeah. I just don't cheat. I mean, it's pointless to me. I mean, if I've committed to a relationship, I might as well run with it. I mean, it works better. Well, and there's at least a trust level.
Get the honeymoon out of the way before you commit to that.
Right.
Don't commit to the no cheating now.
Mind you, the next time we air that could be dead wrong.
Right.
But as of right
we're
now,
we're gonna save this tape, and when you come back,
we'll play.
We're gonna play this,
play
and who knows?
I lose everything. No, it'll be great.
You're a young man, Dave.
Yes, I am.
Why walk down the altar already?
Let's see. Pressure, low self-esteem, loss of hope.
Well, those are all good reasons.
did the stick turn blue? Did that have anything to do with it?
It did. We took care of that, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, we're being complete assholes tonight.
We're the biggest pricks of Dave Lando. How'd the set go?
It went all right. The crowd was a little tight, but they enjoyed it, and they got them up towards the end and everything. So,
well, they were laughing. We could hear it out here while we were talking.
It went well. I'm just always hard on myself. I don't think I've ever had a good set, as far as I know.
You got a big pop coming off.
A what?
Your big pop. We could hear them.
Yes, yeah, that was a dick crazy. Joke.
Uh-huh.
That was the big dick joke closer.
Well, hey, you
are a little bit down on yourself. You're very mellow, very low key.
Yes.
You're usually like, oh, it sucks. Yeah.
He made it to the Best of Detroit show.
Which is good.
Which is a good place
to
be.
I'm happy about that.
Look at Constantine wants to kill you.
He's very upset about it.
He's sharpening a knife over there,
would
Ben
you look at that prick? Thanks.
Very angry. He's just walking away because he knows
Ben was
a
big star in our Kwanzaa special.
Yeah, you didn't.
I heard about that.
Did you hear about Kwanzaa?
From Ben, yes.
It was a big hit, yeah. We had black and Jewish comedians, and we were dressed up in offensive, horrible, racist outfits. I was the black and Corey was the Jew.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Which
good
I think it sounds about right.
And I think Ben was the king of the Jews. He was very
Yeah, he was the
night.
Top Jew that night.
Very Jesus-y.
He really was. He
He's
was,
a lot like Jesus.
He is.
Oh, so what's next for Dave? What's the honeymoon?
What are you excited about comedy-wise coming up? What do you got?
Just the road, man. I got really nothing else going. Just trying to audition for some shows. Or another Last Comic Standing.
You're not doing
audition,
the, you're doing the
so.
Last Comic
auditions? Yeah,
you've been on like the show to get into Last Comic Standing the last couple years. One year, I remember you just kind of standing in the background, like you were on, but they didn't air it. And then last year, they aired it, but you still didn't get on.
And every year, I've done a great job of just looking pissed, so it always looks good.
Now, do you feel like that works against you, having been on it last year? They're just going to, we've seen this.
It's tough to say. I would hope it helps, because supposedly it's new producers and new people. So
is it new judges?
Yeah, and all new people. So I'm hoping that it might actually help. Like they might.
Thank
look
God
at
Ant's gone.
Well, yeah, he's the reason why I didn't get through. He's the one that felt that
really?
I was not funny.
Oh, really? Ann didn't like you?
Yeah, Kathleen and Alonzo loved
go
me.
Go ahead. You want to call? I'll give you the next 60 seconds to call Ann a homo. Go right ahead.
Oh, he is.
I'm giving it up to you. Anything you want to say? Fag?
No,
bone smuggler? Do you want to call him that?
Great comedian.
Do you want to call him a fudge packer? You can do that on the show. It's fine. Yeah.
Excellent writer.
Yeah, you can call him whatever you want right here.
Oh, he's just awful. I'd like him to follow me in any room in America.
God.
Yeah, Dave, you're much funnier than him. But, you know,
think
he's got a gay gimmick.
Exactly.
Now, how does that new Paul end?
How does that stick work anywhere outside of TLC?
I can't imagine it does.
I think he opens up the crowd for Stacey London.
But doesn't he do Celebrity Fit Club? Isn't
yes,
that his
that's
gig?
His big thing.
He does do Celebrity Fit Club.
And you think you would do a better job on that show? Why don't you say that? No, you don't want to do that?
He helps Raven Simone get a smaller
he
ass.
He really does know how to talk.
And for that, we can all be thankful.
He's the one that helped Ralphie May become thin.
Yeah, he did so well on that show that Jeff Conway is now on Celebrity Rehab.
Rehab, yeah.
So is Daniel Baldwin.
Yeah, exactly, but two stars of that show.
Doesn't VH1 have just a slight amount of like shame? In
I don't think so.
Like, what's the whole circuit you do? You do the
Dice Undisputed.
Isn't it like everybody from there is on Celebrity Rehab? Like China was on
China
Surreal
was
Life,
on The Surreal
and,
Life, yeah.
And Brigitte
yeah.
Nielsen's on there. Yeah. It's just like, oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's your dream, Dave. Someday you can be a drunk celebrity.
I can't wait.
I hope one day you have some success.
Yes.
Then it drops off, you get fat, and then you can yell at Ann on
Celebrity Fit Club. And he'll host the show.
And then
you can get in his shit.
So we'll be equal stars. It'll be great.
Wow.
All right. Well, Dave, thank
good
you
luck
for coming
on the audition,
on.
Thank you guys very much.
Are you going
for
to Toronto
having
or are you going
it.
To Minnesota?
I'm doing the Minnesota on February 19th.
All right.
Good for you.
So
well, good
we'll
luck
see
with
if it matters.
Good luck with that. We hope to see you. And come back when you're big. Don't blow us off.
Definitely.
All right.
If I ever do.
Dave, we should have you in for a full segment. You're a funny guy.
I'd love to.
When you're back from the honeymoon, give me a call. We'll book you on. We'll book you on the full
show. Let's do it. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Dave Landau.
Put the wallet in the front pocket when you're walking around town.
Definitely.
All right.
Good job.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Bye, guys.
Dave Landau. Thank you. Thank you.
Fly a lot, entertainers, most of us comics in here, we do fly a lot. You know, I don't like flying, especially Northwest. You ever flew Northwest? What a spooky airlines that is. They have dents in the airplanes. Y'all not hearing me. How in the hell you get a dent in the airplane? I didn't think it could get any worse than flying. Y'all done Greyhound lately? What a ride from hell that has become. And I found out something. If it wasn't for Greyhound, crazy people wouldn't have a way around this damn country. And I always wind up sitting next to him. You want some chicken? No, but shouldn't you be driving the bus? Get your ass up there.
That's the comedy of Keith Ruff, everybody.
Keith.
Hey, hey.
That's live. Now, you guys remember that. That is live from Kwanzaa, live at Club Bart. That's where
That's
we got
right.
that clip.
We created a new holiday, Kwanzaa.
How did you feel about being part of that? Because I know that some comics, like, some people didn't really know what was going on, and then...
Well, you know, I'm a history guy. I'm a holiday type dude, man. I felt like I was a part of something new. Kwanzaa.
That's right.
I can tell my great-grandkids, hey, I was part of Kwanzaa night.
It's a new tradition.
Yeah, it's a new tradition, so I feel good about it.
All right, well, that's good, man, because, I felt kind of, some of the younger guys, they were looking at, our show like it was a big break, like they were going to make it, they were going to be on the radio, they were going to be on Corey and Joel, and I look at you going, man, he don't even give a shit.
Actually, that's what I told the guys before the show. You guys got to do Corey's show, it's going to make you guys.
You hyped them up.
I knew better, I'm a veteran.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was good having you on, and you were part of the Best of Detroit here at the International Comedy Festival.
And I don't know why.
Oh, come on. You killed out there.
I never thought I was the Best of Detroit. I was at home watching the
Somebody
game tonight,
thought you were.
And Mark called me up and said, hey, man, can you get here between halftime? Sure. There's a lot of Best of Detroit guys. Yeah. Mike Green, all my old buddies, Bill Hildebrand, everybody's here, man. I have no ego. I don't mind sharing the spotlight with all the guys I came up with. So there's a lot of Best of Detroit people. You guys,
I think it's a reward for your status. Like you say, there's a lot of the veterans.
Yeah.
These are guys that have been around. These are guys that have earned a little bit. Take a little spotlight. Go ahead.
We're the Brett Favre's of comedy.
Okay.
Guys like me, Hildebrand, Mike Green. I'm a dinosaur, man. But one thing about
you
this
played
business,
Chaplin's West.
That's real inside. That's an old comedy club.
You're right, I did. Chaplin's West sort of corner.
Well, all the old comics in Detroit are always like, did you play Chaplin's West?
Whenever you talk to an old comic.
I made my bones. You know what I'm saying? I played Chaplin's West.
Not that you're an old comic. I don't want to say your mom's Mabley or something.
Right, right.
You're pulling your gums out.
Yeah, we don't consider ourselves old by age. We consider ourselves old by material.
Now, although Hildebrand looks, he's old.
Man, Hildebrand looks good, man. It's like a mafia.
He just got off the boat or something.
Mafia comedy, you know.
He's two weeks younger than Charlie Weaver. That's how old he is. Thank you. That's old. That's an inside reference there too.
I just like that tight leather he's wearing, man, across that belly. Yeah. That's you can't.
He's got
that's
that.
That's a classic, man.
He's got that cruise ship money. You know how that is. You've done that.
I heard the cows go screaming. That leather was so tight. I tell
you. You notice I wear baggy stuff, man. I got a belly, so I can't wear
crazy stuff. You're not the only one.
So I'm here tonight, man. This is really
slimming.
Cool, man.
That's what it is. You got vertical stripes.
Yeah, right.
That's because you're a pro, Keith. You've been around. You know what's going on.
Well, it makes my fat look longer. That's what vertical does.
You did fish bones with Joel.
Hey, his fat's long, but he looks good.
I should tell. Did I tell that story on Kwanzaa about
fish
bones?
You did fish bones behind a 40-foot waterfall.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
It was this restaurant. I don't think I've ever told this story on the air, but it was this restaurant in downtown Detroit, right in the middle of Greektown, big tourist area, very famous restaurant in Detroit. And I was booked. I was booking this comedy room, and this club was. They had a stage, and people didn't pay money to get in. We just talked about that earlier tonight. When it's free, no one gives a shit. And we played in this room in front of what was Guinness had said it was certified the world's largest indoor waterfall.
Right.
So where do they put the stage? Right in front of a giant waterfall.
Right. And the hotel next to that had the world's widest indoor waterfall, so anybody could stake a claim, you know.
But we're in front of this, like, there's no distractions there with a giant waterfall behind you, you know.
Oh, it's like doing comedy in an echo chamber.
And water is noisy, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have this constant white noise behind
you. Right. You can't turn it down or off. It's just noisy.
So I booked Keith in there because I figured Keith's got a nice, you know, Keith has a reputation for having a very, he can work with any crowd. He's got a very, a lot of likability. We talked about how you did the Swingers Club, and we've done that. But I figure he has this reputation of being a real likable comic. He can play in front of family audiences, whoever. And this Fishbones place, is you didn't want to be too dirty because you never knew who was going to be in there.
Exactly.
Well, there was a group of – there was a gospel convention or some sort of – Christian convention.
The worst kind of gospel, black gospel.
Black gospel, exactly.
Whole church group.
They know God
personally. They were in the club, and Keith, you know, he wasn't really liking the crowd, so you were very inventive. You took the mic, you did some improv, you walked around. Remember you pushing the busboy's cart around for a while? It was hilarious.
You went in the kitchen.
Yeah, he was hilarious. I mean, funny.
You came out with a tray of shrimp. It was unbelievable.
He was doing all this crazy.
I had a violin going from table to table. It takes another comic to point out the things you've done in the past, because you can't remember
everything.
You were
doing, like, table-side comedy, going around with the mic and just doing it, and it was so funny, and I loved it. But then the great thing was, like, you know, we get this, and I thought, hey, he saved the show. The guys that went up before you had bombed, you took it a whole nother direction.
No, I did.
It was killing.
I opened for him.
Oh, were you on that show? Okay,
yeah, I opened for him.
I remember who bombed. I'm sorry. I forgot it was you.
Not only was there the gospel convention, but there was a table full of German businessmen.
You're right.
They barely spoke English.
You're right.
They were like, we don't understand.
Right.
So anyway, so Keith goes in there, and I'm thinking, I was laughing my ass off at Keith's set. I come back in the next week, and the owner of the – and I never even dealt with the owner. I dealt with one of the bartenders who put it together. Pulls me aside, and he says, that guy last week, what was his name? I go, Keith Ruff. Great. He goes, he is never allowed to step foot back in Fishbones again.
The 86.
And I go, what's that all about? He goes, I got calls all week from this gospel convention. You had the most offensive comedian we've ever seen. I don't think you said a four-letter word all night.
Right.
And you did something to offend them that I didn't see. I thought you were great.
I couldn't even go in there to get stuffed alligator, man. He remembered me. Get out of here. I couldn't even eat in the place.
Oh, you
man.
Were like banned, and I'm like the one guy to get banned. I mean, I had PJ in there, I had Bill Bouchard.
I opened for you.
Yeah,
right.
And and you were the one guy that the whole time. I think I booked that for 12 weeks or something. You were the one guy that was that they were like, he can never, ever, ever come back.
That's amazing.
And I was like,
that's comedy for
you.
Know.
At a Cajun soul food restaurant,
you
get banned.
Right. In Detroit, 80% black. I'm black. I'm 100%
what
black.
What the hell?
And I get banned. You know?
Oh, that was great, man. That was so funny.
Only
man.
In comedy, man. This is the greatest business in the world. I was a salesman before comedy.
Yeah.
I worked 10 hours a day pushing washers and dryers out the door.
Yeah,
man.
How was it?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
You'd be good at that job.
Highland Appliance, man. That's what I did before comedy.
But I bet you were one of the top guys over there, right?
Actually, I was like maybe second or third.
Okay.
I was lazy.
Were you really?
I was lazy,
but
man.
I had people talking to you, and I could see you selling. I would buy a washer or dryer from you.
Oh, God. You didn't know me back then.
Would you do some sleazy stuff with the washers and dryers?
No, we just haven't. A customer would say some of the craziest things like, yeah, that Sony 19-inch color TV you got on sale for $299. Yeah. Who's it made by? I go RCA, but it says Sony. Get the hell out of my store, will you? Hey, I still remember my sales pitch, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Welcome to Highland Appliance. My name's Keith. And yours? And what are you in the market for today? Oh, sure, I can help you with that. Step this way. That was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was my pitch. I didn't fill in the customer's part. Right. You know, that was just my pitch.
I understand
right
that. Don't you think that was a good thing to have, somebody like that in the store?
Absolutely.
You go to Best Buy now. No one knows what the hell anyone's doing. You want to buy something, they can't even help you.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned that. As an ex-salesman, when I go in Best Buy, these kids got gym shoes on and T-shirts.
Yeah.
They're picking their nose. Can I help you? I want to look at some electronic equipment. Okay, go over there and look. You know, no one knows product knowledge. Back in my day, we had on suits, ties, briefcases,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I got bad feet now, man. That's why I don't headline anymore, man. I do 30 minutes of feature and get on stage.
You don't want to stand up?
Now you go into an appliance store and it's, you know, Sanjit and Raji.
Well, it's true about that, because when I did...
Welcome to Best Buy. Could I help you, please? I want to, for you, I give, come for you, I show you this right here.
We Panasonic is the greatest television you can get. Panasonic, it is so good.
Yeah, well, when I did ABC Warehouse commercials recently.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent 2 days in an ABC Warehouse. And it was funny because the guys that they auditioned and they hired to play the store, you know, the salesman, were all these kind of young white guys.
Right.
And then every salesman that was just hanging out watching was like a Middle Eastern guy.
Oh, yeah.
Pakistani Indians, you know.
Right.
There was a couple of old Jew guys that were kind of the original guys, probably, you know, back from the 70s.
You know, you can't have appliances without an old Jew.
Well, no, you can't.
You need that old Jewish guy.
You got to have an old Jewish guy and one old Italian guy.
Yeah. Right.
You have to.
Right.
You know,
like tonight's show. And they're like Bill Hildebrand. Who's the old Jew tonight?
Who's the old Jew?
We don't have one.
That's a good question.
We'll make
Bill Hildebrand the honorary old Jew comic tonight.
Anyway, it's now. How do you feel about these festivals? This is the first one we've really had in Detroit, as long as I've been around. Anyway,
can I tell you something honestly. I'm a comic to the bone, really. I am, and every chance I get to come out to do a festival or a gig or whatever, I'm out
Kwanzaa.
I can't wait till next year, man, because I want to do the Kwanzaa too.
Exactly,
electric boogaloo.
It's electric jugaloo. I think that's what I was going to call it.
Electric jugaloo.
Yeah,
you guys are killing on radio.
Hey, man, we're doing our thing.
I'm opening up for you guys today. No, this stuff doesn't bother me, man. So you know what? You get a chance to polish off old material, work some new stuff, and you get to work with guys you haven't seen in 10-15 years. You know, Steve Bills is out there. Haven't seen him in years, you know.
It's like family.
It is, man. You know, this industry, when you've been around 10, 15, 20 years and you work with guys and you sleep on the road with them, well, not with them. You're in the same hotel with
exactly,
them.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you become family, so.
That's faggot stuff.
All right, come on.
You want to call it by its name, that's strictly for fags.
The Comedy Condo with Steve Bills on a cold February night in Wichita.
You were funny, Bill, so were you. You want to be funnier?
A little gleam comes in your eye. So you've been around. What is the craziest place you've ever been? What's the wildest venue you've ever done?
My house.
Yeah?
No, the wildest. We were just talking about that in Mark's green room. There's a place, I hope I don't get sued for this, they're not even in business anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
Painesville, Ohio.
Okay.
Which is below Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old theater designed by a vampire. And no, this is no joke. And 20 yards across from the theater was the house where they kept the comics at.
Oh, okay.
And the people who own the theater lived in the house.
Oh, really?
So you had to stay in one part of the house.
Or else you were hanging out with them.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a hell gig. It was a hell accommodations.
Yeah.
You know. And there's many, many stories.
But at least it was close. You could stumble.
It was close, yeah. You could walk right across. You know. And you know, if you piss somebody off, they knew where you were sleeping. So they were like scaling up the side of the house. I think he's in this room, the fat one. He's in this room here. You know. Oh. But you guys are comic. You know, there's a lot of hell gigs out there.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I was just talking about one I did last night, and guys were, like, threatening to beat me up after the gig. I had to run. I took my money and ran out of that gig.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And people don't understand when we get off stage, why do we run in the green room? Because we don't know who we've offended.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you don't know what's going on.
We're covered. Lenny Bruce said years ago, in order for a comic to do his job, he's got to make fun of a person, place, or thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a clue. You could be doing funeral material, and there's some guy in the audience that just buried his grandma a week ago.
Right, yeah.
You know, so now you got to run to the back.
I've seen that. I remember Derek Richards, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
He's got a bit about Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, my brother's got Down syndrome, and came out with one to fight Derek Richards. He's like, I didn't do a blood screen on you before you came into the crowd. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah. What a great line. I didn't do a blood screen on you.
I don't know. It's just like guys come in and, you know,
there's always
you never
something.
Know. Well, you can offend people with fish bones.
Yeah, well, he did, apparently. God. I don't know what he did there, but.
I don't know. I don't know what went wrong there. I figured it was a black gospel show. There's a crowd there. Hey, these are my people. And then you tell me the next day, that black guy, he offended my black audience.
They were like, the black guy has offended the black audience.
He offended my black audience.
I performed in front of a... Oh, listen to that. Everyone's watching the football game. You know what? You look more excited for that. So I'm going to let you get back to that. But hey, I want to thank Keith for coming back on.
Always nice to come back. Thanks a lot,
guys. No problem, man.
Appreciate
you did a great job here tonight.
We really... Thank you again for doing Kwanzaa. It was a lot of fun.
Exactly.
Let's do it again next year.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
All right. You already got my number.
You're good people with us.
All right. Call my agent.
We'll do that. Later, Keith.
Keith Ruff.
Thanks, guys.
She tells me she wants me to shave my area. to make it look bigger. I'd never say that to her. But guess what, Tommy? I did it. I shaved off every last hair, and you know what? It doesn't make it look any bigger. So now during sex, I look like a giant baby with an erection. And I tell you what, fellas, you think that aftershave burns your face? I had to run downstairs, start teabagging it in the dog dish to cool it off. Hey, can somebody get the dog, please? There. You ever teabag in a dog dish, Tommy? Make sure the dog's not drinking out of it. That's my advice. That shit tickles.
There it is. Bill Bouchard.
Oh, hey now.
Our old friend.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard they teabag anything in the dog dish?
There it is.
Bill, how are you, brother?
I'm Amanda good, needs man. No just... introduction to our 12 listeners.
One of our very first, he was roasted. We did the roasty. We got high with this guy. We've done it. He's got a long history on the show.
It's been awesome.
It's a little sad you were not on the Deadpool for the first time this year.
Wow.
Had to go on a cruise. We were on a cruise, and I got... I actually had to work that night or something.
Did you?
Show or
you
something were out of
But you, you, yeah, you had nobody
I
die.
I was in Toledo.
You had nobody die for two straight years, and we just said...
It was good. You were an easy mark in that thing.
Yeah.
Now today, Suzanne Plagette kicked off, so we're already...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had like three guys on the fan desk.
She was dead for years.
One, and yeah. It's crazy, but it's good to see her. You are also part of the Best of Detroit with everyone
yes,
else.
Yes, I was.
To
I
tonight.
Just had a very nice set. Very,
yeah, we heard
that.
We heard the laughter
it.
Out here.
It
we
felt
were
good about it when I got off stage.
Well, that's good, man.
Chalk one up for the dirty.
It's yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's good they put a dirty comic in the actual
no,
Best of Detroit.
You have to. You
yeah.
have to. You can't have vanilla without a little chocolate.
I'm surprised you're not segregated into Filth Night with me.
Well, I'm actually out of town that night.
God, you're out of... You're,
or I'd have been pushing for
God, Bill's never around anymore. You're zipping
I'm
in and
I'm
out.
Working oh, yeah.
Good
idiot.
For you.
Well, that's good, man.
Well, enough about me.
Well, now, how was the set? How'd it go?
I felt I had a strong set.
Yeah? Is it hard doing a short set now after headlining?
Actually, I've been really trying to work hard on doing short set and grabbing them with the character. So.
Okay, that's good.
With
that's
the character.
With the character.
Bill's working the character.
So.
No, it's kind of weird when you're used to doing a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And the other night, Bill, you've had kind of a role in this festival. You've been
yes,
helping out
yes.
with it.
Yeah, you put some of this
yes,
together.
Yes.
And you had a contest for the last spot
yes.
to get into the festival,
yes.
which I was a judge for.
And one of my favorite guys around town won the thing.
Yeah.
Matt McClowery.
And they had me, like, do time while they were counting the votes.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I done? Is it over? Are you done? It was like 10 minutes, and it was weird.
Who was counting, Bill?
Was this the last one?
This is the
was
last this? Week.
Oh, this
yeah,
is the last
week.
One. He was.
He
in
did
there.
It a few weeks ago. He rocked the house. It was awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's a exciting undertaking.
Yes. This well, we need
festival.
This. To be honest.
Yeah,
with
you're
you.
Right we about that.
It.
We have too much talent to
There's
not have
There's too much
something
stuff
like
going
this.
On. There's too many clubs. There's too many opportunities to work. There's too many people involved. Mm. Not to try to pull something together and get something organized.
We need a festival in the coldest possible time.
Yeah. Was there any thought to make
in the middle of the auto show?
You know what?
During NFC playoffs. That's what we need is a comedy event right in the middle of all that.
We just want to make it more difficult.
Yeah.
We have a huge audience now, and none of them are looking at us. They're all looking yeah. at the TV screen
no.
watching it's the Giants and the Packers.
Strahan is down.
Is he really?
I don't know. They're tied, though, 20-20.
Oh,
well,
wow.
You know, it's
exciting
an exciting
football.
It's an exciting game.
We had a good crowd here tonight. I'm impressed by the turnout.
Where were you at the party that we had?
Oh, no, we don't have to talk about
I don't
the
know.
Let's talk about
we don't
the
have
party.
To talk about
I
the party.
Talk
if you
about
want to
the
talk
party.
About, if you want
Joel
to talk
has
about,
game.
I
Joel
stop,
has game, and that's all
I
I'm
wanna,
saying.
No, I don't want to take it. I don't
Joel has
it.
Game.
I don't want to take it.
He's got
credit.
Game.
Well,
tell you go ahead. You tell your. I don't even know. I haven't talked to you since the party, by the way.
I just.
What did you
see
hear,
you, Keith?
Keith Ruff is leaving.
Keith Ruff, thank you.
I just saw. You know, I don't even know.
What did you? Did you see any? Can I ask you a question? Okay, here's what happened.
I'm bummed out.
Do you
want to
give? Tell people what happened. Your side of the story.
My side of the story was I wanted to go to bed, and my wife had puked all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
She's gonna be glad I said that.
Yeah.
And long story short, the party was down to three. Me, Joel, and my wife's girlfriend, Carlene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joel has got the whatever you call it. The guy has it.
No, Carlene and I were kind of hanging out, and you had even retired.
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't go to bed in the bedroom because it was just not convenient for me to sleep. Yeah. I was trying to sleep on the couch, and I'm not saying I heard anything per se, but I knew there was two people in the kitchen, and there was no more noise except there. A lot of smacking going on.
Yeah, we kind of made out and stuff.
A lot of smacking going on.
Well, I mean, I had just met this girl, so, you know, and we had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And he was probably masturbating with great gusto.
Stop it.
And enthusiasm.
No, I asked her if I could kiss her, and she said yes, and I kissed her, and then I kissed her again.
I want a woman!
Come on!
I gotta have a woman!
And really? It was fine. It was really not that big a deal, but, you know, it was a fun night.
So what happened then, Joel?
Her pussy gets so wet.
All right, stop it.
I can't believe it.
Well, first of all, because she might hear this, and, you know, I don't know.
No, she won't hear this.
No, I don't know. She's a very nice girl. Nothing's going on. We just met that night, but we made out for a few minutes, and I went home, and that was it.
Joel, I like
she's a nice girl.
Who doesn't mind a drunken makeup?
I want to welcome you to the program. I'm Corey Hall. This is Bill Bouchard, and this is Cochise, the red-faced. Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Rolling Rock right now.
You're redder than a cigar store Indian.
You guys ever had a big? He's gonna be swimming in it. There's not gonna be any. There will be none left for you.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. No, I met this girl and
Dick Burton is knee deep in it. By the way,
it was
just tang everywhere.
It was, you know, it was
more tang than a NASA's.
It was a party
flight.
And we had, but I have a little. I think the deal is I have a reputation now with Bill's parties.
That's too good a joke.
That's two in a row, man.
That's too good a joke to throw away here.
We're running out of chicks for you. That's
I'm fine. And I didn't have any plans on, you know, I saw her, she was cute, you know, whatever, and one thing led to another. I mean, it's like we, you know.
Your wife's running out of friends.
Yeah.
That's the more important thing. I think between the two of us, we're working our way through the hitting on every one of your wife and
family members for that matter.
Right, I didn't hit on any. I just, you know,
your sister-in-law, her friends. We're working our way through them. We're hitting on all of them.
I don't think there's a lot of hitting. I think it just kind of happened.
It was, you know what? I just said
he's a man, she's a woman.
Oh, brother.
And good way to put the focus on the festival, by the way.
Yeah, this is really great.
Good job promoting
this.
Dave
Morose appreciates us.
What I'm trying to say is that we need more festivals.
We do, and this is nice to be here, and I'm excited about my set later in the week. And I'm excited.
This is good for everybody. It's good for the show. Yeah. It's good for all the guys involved that bust their butts.
Well, hopefully people will listen to this show.
And they're getting an opportunity to get out there, get out to the Magic Bag and watch the thing, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, this thing is chock-a-block the whole week.
Yeah, why don't I do a couple plugs? We did this last week on the show.
Loaded with guys who've been on the show.
And you guys are here, and you'll have time to get out and see the Clean Guys of Comedy. That's Tuesday night with Dave.
It's going to be a big night. Big night.
And then
the
Filthy Show.
I don't know
show.
If I can get a flight from Amsterdam.
I don't think Niels is coming.
From Hamburg. I have to connect to Dusseldorf.
Wednesday night is the Filthy Show. Steve Sabo, a good friend of ours, is the MC for that. Corey will be appearing on that show, as well our good friend Steve Brewer will be there. John Tortolot
will be there.
A lot of funny comics. A Snow Cone, Mike Stanley.
14 hours straight to get here for my New York comedy class. I am so fucking jacked.
All right, come on. Thursday night
keep going.
Is the,
I can hear
the
night.
New Faces show. I'll be part of the 10:30 p.m. show along with our good friend Ben Constantine will be on there.
Thanks.
Brian McCree is the MC, who's a great comic. Hopefully we'll get Brian on the show before too long. And there's a lot of good stuff coming up. The Best of the Fest is Friday night. There's also an international show Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Magic Bag.
Nate Fridson, Matt McClowery, both on the news.
Yeah, they're on there in the Faces show with us.
Oh, okay.
So it's a good time. But, Bill, I mean, anything else you want to say? I mean, you're such a regular on the show. We've interviewed
you a million times. I'm glad. I know you guys have, you know, you've had success with this, and everybody enjoys it. I listen to it every time I get it.
Do you really? Okay.
Every time
you can figure out your computer.
I do. I play it.
It took you forever.
I play it as background. When I'm working, good. and sometimes I actually will be laughing out loud, going, "Boy, these guys are a couple of assholes."
That you would laugh.
We'll hear our Hildebrand segment. We're gonna really.
Yeah, we got Bill on. You want to see an asshole? Wait till Bill gets on the mic, which won't be long from now.
Let me tell you about these cruise ships.
The problem is, Bill.
You gotta get on the
problem with this business.
So
anyway,
Did comedy before they invented microphones. Hildebrand had a megaphone that he would yell the jokes into originally.
All right. Well, Bill, I want to thank you once again.
Thank
First of
you
all,
guys.
Number one, for being on the show. Number two, for putting this thing together, or at least having a hand in putting
number
together
one, and also
the festival.
number three, we want to thank you for marrying an attractive woman with a lot of friends.
Yes. Thank you.
For Joel to hit on.
She's going to have to
parties.
Get a couple more, man, because
I don't know.
We're going to have a party over Labor Day, and I got to have somebody there for Joel.
You know what? I would take her, but she's out of town. She doesn't even live here. She's a nice girl, right? That girl's okay, right?
Yeah, she'll be back in.
She'll be back in. Well, you call me when she's
You got it, brother.
You call me when she's in town, and we'll do that, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, Bill. Thanks for coming in.
Wonderful, Bill Bouchard.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bill.
Our good friend.
Thank you very much.
But it's all marketing. That's what I'm saying, Dan. You get the point? That's just marketing. If you drink enough blowjobs, what are you going to get later on? See the thinking? Doesn't work that way, does it, Stoner? Drinks ought to be named after shit that really happens to you. That would sound different. You're out with your buddies ordering stuff. Going, yeah, my buddy here, he'll take a sideways at 40 miles an hour into a tree. He'll take a get out of the car and touch your nose with your eyes closed. And I'll take a limp dick and can't do shit when I get home.
There it is. Live from the Comedy Festival, that's Bill Hildebrandt.
Glad you got a recording of that getting laughs.
Did it work as well in the room tonight,
no,
Bill, or not
no,
really?
No,
oh,
that
I'm
was,
sorry.
That was a very flat performance.
Oh, really? You're not happy with
not
your Comedy
all.
Festival
really?
Exposure?
No.
Well, you don't have your sea legs. Doing comedy on land is weird for you these days, right?
Doing comedy for 12 minutes is new
yeah.
to me.
Right. Having we were just talking about that.
A lot of shit into 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Bill Bouchard had to trim back a little bit.
Yes, he
yeah.
did.
Lose some
and
of
he cleaned it up. Did you hear him?
Did he clean up his
yeah,
act?
Yeah, like
we
two fucks
hear...
he didn't use.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. That's good. For anyone that doesn't know, this is Bill
Hildebrandt. He was down to 11 fucks. He
yeah,
cut it way down.
For anyone that doesn't know, this is Bill Hildebrandt, a favorite on our show for many years now, and he was here as part of the Best of Detroit festival here, the opening night of the Comedy Festival. And it's good to have Bill on the show. Now, you're very tan. You were on the boat again, let me guess. And we've gone over the boat a million times. You
yeah,
just got off.
We've done the boat.
Yeah, we've done. But you're just getting in, right?
No, it's been a month or so.
Has it really?
A couple months, yeah.
Okay, well, that's
God,
good.
You can't get a cruise in the winter. That's my thing. You're like, I'm here till March. And I'm like, that blows for you.
This yes, is, it does.
Like,
it?
January, February is where I would want to be on the
well,
know,
I was
boat
last
in the,
year.
In Mexico.
Yeah. And it was Mexico.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy. I was on the road, and I was working with this guy, and he was telling me about cruise ships, and I go, you know, he was telling me about cruise ships, and I go, he goes, but I don't really do them anymore. And I go, well, it's funny because I know this, my friend Bill Hildebrandt from Detroit is working on these cruise ships. He goes, oh, yeah, he took my gigs. I don't want to mention the guy's name, but
really?
This guy was pissed at you. He claims that he no longer works for the cruise because you do. It was really funny.
Good.
And he's a nice guy, too, but it was like, it was funny that he hated you because
he's
he took
a nice guy,
work.
But he's not funny.
Maybe that's the case. I don't know.
I know a lot of people like that. They're nice guys, but they're not funny.
Screw that bastard.
No, it was just funny. He was putting you down because you took. I go, well, he's on a cruise ship. He goes, yeah, those are my gigs. I said, oh, shit.
I heard okay. George Wallace does a lot of cruises.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of like old veteran guys that you wonder where they are and they're on the boats? Is that
yeah,
what,
yeah, some of them.
Where's Judy Tenuta? That's
David Brenner. He does a lot of ships. Guys David, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look who's here. Hold
oh,
on.
Oh, look at this. A special guest.
Look at this. Sit on down. Talk right in that mic.
I just walked in on Bill Hildebrandt's act. Just like he does.
So speaking of old stoners.
This is Mark Ridley, owner of the Comedy Castle.
There we are. Yeah.
Part
yeah.
of this thing. Here,
he's part of this,
part yeah. of it. Well, he—it's his
am,
room.
Part of it.
We
part
were,
of it.
Yeah. like everyone else.
We were just talking about how old Barnacle Bill here likes to cruise bingo night for strays on the cruise
night
on,
for strays?
On the cruise ships.
Yeah, I look for
I
super
my
wounded.
Life was sad.
So, Mark, oh, how's the festival going for you? We're
I
almost done with night
great.
One. Yeah, we had a great
I
turnout
mean, really,
tonight.
You know
we're on against this football game that everyone in the lobby in the bar is watching.
But you know what? I think what's really amazing, guys, is that if you look at this night. The opening night, and I've been to a lot of festivals
yeah.
in Boston and Nevada, and you know everywhere. This is a pretty incredible night
yeah.
to come out of nowhere and just launch like this.
It is. I mean, there are a lot of people that are just totally unaware of it, but there are a lot of people. Thankfully, now we're drawing attention.
Yeah.
Maybe the papers will cover it. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
Well, we're covering it, and that means
that's
think
right.
Think of the dozens of people that'll hear this.
I'd say it's more than a dozen.
they live in Tasmania, but they're going to hear about this festival, Mark.
I
and
love
it's very big.
Yeah.
Do you? Okay,
yeah.
well, that's good.
And we've got a whole week to roll with this and build it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Long after Bill Hildebrandt's set is over, but it'll be. It'll get it.
Well, Bill, are you on the road this week somewhere?
Thankfully, Florida. One day.
You're in Florida for one day?
One day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll take that one in the. When this this Hoth-like ice. You know,
yeah.
I had to ride a Tauntaun and skin a Yeti to get over it. So cold. Jesus.
Yeah, so you're saying this compares favorably to stuff like Montreal that you've been to?
I'd say, you know, the
we're
one thing,
there.
There's a couple of big things that are about this. It's not a competition. Yeah. Nobody's competing for money. It's highlighting Detroit comedians.
Yeah.
And what a way to kick off with the best of Detroit.
Right.
And theme shows every night. So, you know, why this couldn't go for another 20, 30 years, it's not impossible.
Really? Well, you've been going for forever. Doing comedy, so why
29
not
29 years, yeah. Yeah.
29 years of this club.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the Clarence Baker of comedy. Remember he used... Yeah?
And I
Jazz club owner? Baker's keyboard owner?
Oh.
Look at Bill's laugh and Bill gets it.
I can't believe Ridley threw a reference I didn't pick up. I dropped a Charlie Weaver joke earlier tonight and I'm like, Ridley's slipping
Cliff
one
Arquette.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie Weaver.
All right, guys.
He was in the bottom left. He wasn't center square.
No, it was never center square. Paul Lynn had that tied up.
Right. Where was Wally Cox? Was he in the bathroom behind Paul Lynn? Doing...
Yikes.
All right, well, more Hollywood Squares comedy.
That's it. And that's the kind of comedy we give you at the International Comedy Festival. Yes, ancient references.
No, it's better than that.
But, Mark, I think it's safe to say that there would not be a Detroit International Comedy Festival if it was not for you.
Yes.
And your perseverance and your willingness to open a checkbook for a guy like Bill Hildebrand for 29 years.
Well, you know what? All of us are here for one. And I hate to be schmaltzy about this, but if we love comedy.
Right.
That's it. That's.
But you see, that's why he's still here. He's the only one that really cares in this market. Everybody else has got a restaurant, and comedy is secondary.
Uh-oh.
Or a bowling alley.
Here,
or some damn
here
thing.
Comes evil Hildebrand.
Dr. Bitter.
Here it comes.
No, I'm just saying that's
We've
why he's here, because
rap.
He loves comedy. Half these other clubs, if they find out mud wrestling women is cheaper and brings in more people, they're out of this.
Mark, you can hear the laugh. Mark loves comedy. You love comedians.
Yep.
And your check's clear, which is one of the biggest.
Didn't you have you had that recently?
Yeah. Checks
ouch. Thanks
really?
A lot.
Your checks, your checks don't bounce.
Really,
one of the best parts about doing the comedy.
Look at Bill's face. Bill, can you want to tell the
can
story?
Can I do New Year's?
You
next
can tell
year?
That story. Yeah. Tell the story if you want.
Go
that's
ahead,
a good.
Bill.
That's a good road story.
Wise guys.
Uh-oh.
Well, I didn't say, I was going to say, don't mention
this past New Year's?
Bounce my New Year's check.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we are, January 20th. No word.
Still didn't get it, huh?
Yep.
They didn't just bounce a check. They Meadowlark Lemon, the Curly kneeled it. It went behind the back.
Slammed
and
dunk.
The court.
Yeah. Bill was the Washington Generals, and they had Meadowlark Lemon.
They did the bit where they put it behind my head.
You know, so Curly Neal wrote you a check.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was on a string.
But that's one of the perils of the business that you go through on the road.
I
is your
didn't
checks,
know that.
Checks
well, I went
clear.
To throw a bucket of water, and it was confetti.
Hey, you know what? As long as a few of us can keep going in this economy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really.
I'm going to go back in and watch Mike Green, guys.
All right.
All
great
right.
Mark Ridley.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for putting
Thank
this
Mark.
On, Mark. Thank you.
Mark Ridley. Yeah, see, shit like that happens. People don't catch your checks bounce, all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah, welcome to comedy.
I know, man.
Bastards.
I know.
Bill, this is the darkest we've ever seen. You're all in black.
Well, I'm a grand in a hole. How do you expect me to feel?
That's true.
You'll make that up
in a week on the cruise ship.
There was no blowjob attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
The half a week on the cruise ship, you'll be fine again.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, what's your bar tab look like? That's what I want to know.
Oh, they're enormous.
Yeah.
On the high seas. That's the one thing you pay for, right, is the booze.
Yeah, that's
damn
sucks.
It.
And it's like, what, $17.50 for
that's why Leo DeFore doesn't do ships.
Right. Right.
That's a good point.
Here's your check. Here's your tab. You owe us $49.50, Mr. DeFore.
We've talked many times about the yardstick of your bar tab and your payment for the week should not be similar numbers.
Yeah, or one shouldn't exceed the other.
Right.
Or the page anyway, you know.
But
so what do you do when you're home, Bill? What do you do when you're not
watch pornos and eat Cheetos. What are you talking about?
That's why he's the best.
What do I do when I'm home?
Well, you know.
I do the same thing you do. What do you do when you're home?
I don't. I'm just trying to do a show here, Bill. I'm just trying to make something up.
We've got
the worst question I've ever heard. Well, what do you do when you're home?
All right. I know that.
It's like somebody asking you, how long are you in town for? What do you give a fuck how long you're in town for? You're not going to hang with me. Or, you know, when you're leaving, why? You're going to be there?
No, sometimes.
I hate small talk. It's the worst shit in the world.
This is the greatest show ever.
Sometimes we
He's busting your chops.
Sometimes we do ask you when you're in town because we want you to come on the show and be a bitter, miserable old bastard to everybody.
That's the worst save I've ever heard.
I know. Thank you.
That's no
you
save.
You really are sweating it out.
This
you're
is sweating.
This is worse than when Bill, when Bouchard was asked, tell me about the chick I made out with.
Yeah, you. This guy.
Oh, by the way, Fragman.
Yeah, what's up?
You know, that picture of me signing that girl's tit, you might want to take that off your
website.
Oh,
is that still on the website? Oh, did you get in trouble?
Oh, that came back to haunt me.
Oh,
about
I'm sorry.
3 weeks
no, no,
ago.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's been up forever. I don't even
Somebody my wife works
oh.
with.
Oh, really?
Did some sort of Google search on
time,
me.
In the privacy of your own.
Yeah,
home.
We had this. No, you didn't do
what
anything
else
with
can
that.
You ask
yeah,
for?
Nothing happened with
but
that chick. Yeah.
They ended up at your website and with that photo.
So if you search for Bill Hildebrandt, it's a Bill selling sign. Yeah, we were in Big Rapids, Michigan, and we're signing girls' boobs.
It was 100 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 5 years. I don't know how many years ago.
Well, take
four
it off
years?
The goddamn.
I'm sorry. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. I'll work on that. Wow,
oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, geez. Oh. I didn't know I had to get yelled at too. I thought it was just Corey. It was small talk, but
that's
I guess not.
That's okay, Bill. For a long time on our website, I had a picture of a girl's ass that I'd signed.
Yeah,
as my like picture, my little avatar.
Yeah,
yeah, that hit me in the ass. That bit me. So I know how you feel, brother.
Well, Bill, you know, Bouchard's over here talking about how I'm making out with all these chicks. That's not really helping me either. You know,
yeah, he doesn't sign
forever.
Tits. He just takes them to bed. He gets more pussy by accident than we get
nobody,
on purpose.
You got nobody to report to.
Who, me?
Yeah, you got
well, not right now, but in the future I will, or in
what
the past
that have
I
to do with anything?
I'm just saying.
I got nobody to report to.
Well, you know.
You think I run home and tell everything I do that fucking day? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but you don't have
forgive me because I have sinned. Yeah, I go to confession every day with my old lady.
Right, but you don't have to report, but eventually the research will be done. There's a bureau checking your stats.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I know. You're saying eventually at the end it'll be in my PowerPoint. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
You'll be looking at it across a legal table.
It'll someday be in my film strip.
All right. Exactly.
So how do you feel about the whole festival thing? Like, do you do these things normally?
Set sucked. No, I'm serious.
I don't know. We didn't hear. We were out here.
I was the weakest guy up there tonight.
Well, why do you think that is? Though?
Because
you're funny, but you're
I'm not
we
used
know
to,
that you're one of the funniest guys.
Because
in town.
It was like
you're
15 fucking minutes, and I'm trying to figure out, God, what can I do in 15 minutes?
I saw you work with Bouchard, and you crushed him.
Yeah, and tonight
in this very room,
they couldn't catch their
what
breath with
doing?
Him tonight.
I've seen you though. You're amazing.
But
you work a live room like nobody's been.
Do you have any? Get over here.
Boucher had the show of the night, I think, so far.
He's saying that his set sucked and that you had the best set of the night. Anything to say about that?
It's absolutely
I agree.
Yeah.
Anything Bill says, I agree with. Bill gave me some advice before I went out there, and I did what he said, and it worked. So
okay, so that's it. So
the guy has never steered me wrong in the entire time I've known him.
He really hasn't. That's
can
why
you not
he
follow,
hasn't.
Always
can you,
will come clean with you, and he'll tell you how it is, and that's how it is.
Can you not follow your own advice, or what happened? How is he saying that you gave him advice to do well,
that's the way
and
it
that
is.
You...
You can always run somebody else's life better than they can run,
really?
You can run your own.
No, it's a good point.
I'm much better
I hate to hear you put yourself down like that, though.
Well,
you're the wise old sage, the Buddha of comedy.
I tried to show people that I didn't know that are out there that I could be clean.
Yeah.
And after Bouchard got done shaving his wife's pussy on stage, and you know, and Chrissy Burns got done, you know, with her nipples being hard and shit. I went
pussy
and tried to do a
so
clean
wet,
show.
You can't believe it.
Well, you know, it's
and I laid there like a dog.
Oh well,
those people looked at me like a beagle looking at a ceiling fan.
Would you have preferred to go earlier in the night? Would that have helped?
No, I should have just gone out there and let it fly. You know,
you think you should have pulled out both guns? And,
yeah, I should have just let it go. But I tried to show everybody I can do it clean and still be funny. And guess what?
Oh man.
No.
Yeah, this is the best of Detroit, not the clean show, Bill. You didn't have to.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about that.
Well, I fucked.
Don't. You can work blue, kid. Go ahead and work blue.
Oh
yeah,
my
that's your
God.
Thing.
Yeah, okay, Bobby. Look at that yo-yo. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV.
Well, I'm glad to see one guy surly and angry, and it's not all kisses and puppy dogs here at the Detroit International Comedy.
I expect nothing less from Bill.
It's not just my shitty set. It's $1,000 I'm out of, too.
Yeah,
that's
well, the New Year's Eve thing is bad.
And, my shitty set's got me down. I drove
that
all damn
true.
Day. That's got me.
Well, if it means anything to you, Bill, I will not work that club again until you get paid. How's that sound?
Yeah, good, Joel. Thank
now,
you.
I'm not booked there anyway, so it doesn't really mean
Bill,
anything.
I know.
But you know,
what's the next? What's the next
that's
club?
It's almost like there's a million places that didn't pay me because Joel's not working there.
I'm not working anywhere.
What's the next club you're going to be miserable to go to? What's the next room?
I don't have any clubs.
You go to Florida for one night. What is that? Private
party.
Private party. Yeah. Okay, well, that should be fun then. Yeah.
But I don't have any clubs.
You're not doing any clubs now?
No.
You're just doing all corporate and all
private parties? I got something I'm doing for Brian McCree. You know Brian McCree?
You're doing the Fenton room up there. Yeah, I just did that.
Yeah,
it was just a fun room.
How was that, all right?
It was all right. Yeah, okay. You know, people don't pay to get in. It's one of those they just let whoever they want in.
Perfect.
But they had, you know... It was you know, 80 people in a room that seats 100 on Tuesday.
If they got nothing invested in the evening, then they're dicks.
Well, we were just talking about that earlier.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
They have a sign, I know. They have a sign outside that says free comedy right on the marquee.
When you play the VFW Hall and they got to put down their cribbage to come listen to you, yeah, it's tough.
Oh, man. Well, Bill, I guess I want to thank you for doing this. Hopefully you enjoyed this. If not, you're sad. Did you enjoy hanging out with us at least?
Yeah, it was nice being the cream filling for 18 minutes to fill the rest of the
Would you shut up? We were going to interview you anyway.
Bill, thanks for being the Crisco and the sugar and your cookie.
God, you are the Werner Meister burger. You want to steal Christmas. You know, look, I'm going to tell you something, Bill. You just heard Bouchard say it, and I'm going to say it too. All the time I've been doing comedy, nobody has ever told me the truth more often and with more wisdom than you do, with more insight
and more venom.
No, but it's I can take it rough.
Yeah,
and I thank you for that. You're a great guy.
Yeah.
I don't tell anybody, but you're a great guy.
Call me anytime.
You're a miserable prick, but underneath it, I'm very happy to have known you.
Is it nice and moist now after that ass kissing?
I'm
Corey?
Just saying.
I've never heard Corey kiss an ass like that.
Is this your last fucking show?
No.
Wait till you see what I do with Chrissy Burns. Oh, no. Fumble. Oh!
Something's going on in the Giants.
Oh, God. There's a
Packers game.
Always good to do a comedy festival in the middle of the playoffs. Yeah. That's always good.
Anyway, Bill Hildebrand, thank you very much for doing
this. All right, Billy.
All right.
As always.
Our favorite.
Funnyballguy.com. We'll catch you over there. All right, something like that. All right, play some music with Bill Hildebrand. Thank you, Bill.
It's more fun than your bedroom.
I believe it is. Yeah. Everybody, welcome back. We're going to wrap it up here from the first ever Detroit International Comedy Festival opening night. What a successful night we had.
Opening night's been a smash.
It's been a nice night.
There it is. Bill Bouchard is back with us just for a second. Hildebrand was giving you praise over there. So
yeah,
that was
Bill's,
great.
Bill's always been good to me.
That's good, man. That's good. But I want to thank...
I say something nice about Hildebrand, I'm puckering his ass. Yeah, that's what I hear.
Well, you were kissing his
ass. I hear I'm lathering his ass up.
He doesn't book a room anymore.
I'm putting cinnamon frosting on him.
But let's thank...
I'm hoping he'll take me on a cruise.
All right. Let's just thank everybody.
I'll be his cabin boy. Okay. That's what I want to be.
I want to thank everybody real quick that did the show. Of
course,
Mike Green, Dave Landau was here. Keith Ruff, of course, Bill Bouchard, and Bill Hildebrand, Mark Ridley. Kevin Wheeler, who we didn't talk to tonight, but who previewed for us last night. He's been working hard all night. Dave Moroz for putting this thing together as well with you guys. And it's been fun, man. We had a good time here tonight.
It's a whole week.
People can come out the rest of the week. People are going to be hearing
except
this.
Except for Saturday, which is
there's
just
no Saturday night, but it runs through Friday night, and you get out here.
So, Bill, after the exciting comedy festival, when's the next time you have a party Joel can make out with a girl?
All right, we've covered this. All right.
September.
I want to just...
Are you going to have an after party at Club Bard on Thursday night?
No, because they're doing Blues Fest.
It's we're competing Blues with Blues Fest.
You're competing with Blues Fest in Fernandale this week. But anyway.
We all to get together.
Anyway.
Well, the next year's Detroit International Comedy Festival will be in February.
It'll be July 4th weekend.
There you go.
We're going to make it that difficult.
All right. Well, let's play some music. Corey, did you enjoy tonight? Did we have a good time or what?
I had a great time.
Yes, it was good. We had a technical snafu at the beginning where one of our cables didn't work. And I ran to CVS in 10-degree weather for you, our fans. That's right. You on the tram. That's right. You on the D.C. subway.
I'm going to say something
wherever you are.
I've seen Joel work the ladies, and this is the first time his cable hasn't worked.
All right. That's enough of that. Corey, play some music. Get it out of here. Good night from the Detroit International Comedy Fest. I'll be performing Thursday night at the Magic Bag. Corey, Wednesday night. Corey will be Wednesday night on the Filthy Show, so... Come
Wednesday
and join
and
us.
Thursday. You can see both of us.
All right. And we're out of here. Join us on the Fair Forum, the mailing list, all that good stuff. And we'll catch you next time, folks. Good night.